We start hour number two, and I am joined right now on the set, and this is how the Radio Row goes. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Thomas Dimitroff is a former NFL GM, good friend of the program, and the current CEO of the analytics company, Sumer Sports. He joins us along with Eric Eager, who is the VP of Research and Development for the very same company. Fellas, good to see you both. Thomas, what's up? How are you?
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Always love the energy.
You too, dude. You too.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So break it down. Let's jump right into it. What is Sumer Sports and what do you guys do?
So it is a roster optimization element. It's a cutting edge algorithmic approach to building rosters in the NFL. Our focus is the NFL teams right now. Of course, in times that can grow. We have close to 30 data scientists and engineers. It's growing fast. There is not a team out in the NFL that will employ that approach and put that kind of resource into their data program. And we think at Sumer Sports, we can be that augmentation tool for the general manager and the team builder, the head coach and the owner. And we're excited where we're going.
All right. So Eric, how did you end up there? You have a background for this type of thing. What did you like about the company, and why did you come aboard?
Yeah, I was research and development VP at PFF before, right. And we had built what I would say the first step of football analytics, like better evaluation of players. Can you, make wins above replacement for offensive linemen? Can you evaluate quarterbacks better? But there's always this aspect of football's not baseball, right? Everything's interconnected. If the left tackle is poor, then that's going to put strain on the quarterback, and that might make the quarterback look worse. And so what we wanted to do, and what was enticing to me, was having a former general manager talk me through being able to sort of optimize a roster from 1 to 53. And we have tons of really smart people that are sort of formulating that problem together and watching as football evolves, and we evolve with it.
So what's incredible to me, Thomas, is how much the game has changed in terms of roster building since even you were roster building. How dramatically different is it today than it was even 10 years ago?
Oh, it's so different, and it's moving so fast, and you have to be aggressive, Jimmy. You can't sit on your hands, right? And I've said this, criminally underused data out there. You get good football people who can augment with something like this, or just in general. We don't even need to talk about Sumer. In general, the data is there. You can be so much more informed by your moves and your approach. And these guys out there right now are trading like crazy, right? It is not for long. We know that. It's more not for long than ever. They know it.
By the way, how long is it for now? I mean, it's incredible. Guys, how about this? John Robinson getting fired during a winning season, who had a great track record with the Titans. What was your reaction to that?
I was outraged. That's probably strong, but 7-5 and done what he has done. Obviously, there was something falling apart within the org, and we know that's important, right? You have to have a good relationship with your owner and your head coach. I'll be interested to see how it all plays out. Look, I'm happy for Rand Carthon. Rand goes there. He was a part of the Atlanta Falcons world at one time. He goes there to be the GM with Mike Vrabel, and they'll do some good things, I'm sure.
So, Eric, where do you come out in terms of like building rosters? Can you still develop players? I mean, can teams still work through the draft and develop their own, or is the sense of urgency so great right now that people just don't have patience for that anymore?
Well, that's such a great point, because I kind of call it a potato chip league, right? You draft, and if the guy doesn't do well in the first 2 or 3 years, you can just get a cheaper guy in the draft, right? And the 2011 CBA gave such an edge to teams, not only at the most important position, quarterback, where Jalen Hurts is out here making a million or $2, right? And you have Patrick Mahomes making, 45, 46. The bar for Patrick Mahomes is so much higher than that for Hurts. And once Hurts gets to that money, have they done a good enough job? Because a lot of times, when guys are on rookie deals, you spend all your energy hiding a player as opposed to developing them. Then when they make that money, they get exposed, right? And that's why teams, that have the great quarterbacks, the Bradys, the Mahomes, is all the AFC title games from 2011 till today included a Brady or a Mahomes, right? That's why those teams are more resilient to things than the teams that are sort of like churning and burning at positions. And we want, obviously what we can do at Sumer Sports is provide insights into where development is possible, where development, offensive line, for example. A lot of these guys, they get to year three before they're even playable, and you've already wasted, 2 or 3 years of their rookie deal, and so then you have to overspend in free agency, and again, those are not going to be a surplus value. So it's a really hard problem that we're tackling here.
Thomas Dimitroff, Eric Eager joining us. We're talking about their company. It's funny, Thomas, that he mentioned 2011. Of course, many fans know that was the year that you were looking to pull the trigger on that enormous deal to get Julio Jones in the draft. You called your mentor, Bill Belichick, before you made that deal. What did Bill tell you?
He basically said, look, you're going to be carrying this for the rest of your career. Are you sure? And, you know, of course, we it's written, if I were you, I would not do it, of course. Now, he wasn't saying that about Julio as a player. He was just saying that's a big move to make.
For a wide receiver.
For a wide receiver, of course. And, uh-huh. and yet, people ask me right now very quickly, Jim.
Sure.
Would you have done that if you had, you know, again, if you had something like this? And I would say I would have made that move. I might not have made the move to sign him in the third contract for all the money we did, because what these algorithms do is provide the opportunity to really juxtapose what you're thinking with what the true value might be of the trade.
Fact of the matter is, though, you did that when this type of thing is not that unusual right about now. I know you love your life. I know you love what you're doing right now. But being that you were so far ahead of it and that you did something which is now in vogue, you were a believer back then. Do you want back in and a seat at the table to see what you could do in this current environment?
Well, look, I continue to think about how it's evolving from a quantitative side, and my mind being so much more open, being around people like Eric, the intelligence, and saying there's a better way to approach team building. And I'm very curious of how my approach would have differed. As front end that I thought I was, now knowing that much more, I think it would be a fascinating journey.
For sure, Eric. In terms of team building, like Philadelphia, it's incredible, right? 2 years ago, they won 4 games. They fired Doug Peterson. They come back last year, they win 9 games, and all of a sudden they're back in the Super Bowl. What does that say about GM Howie Roseman and what he's done in rebuilding that team? And by the way, how did the guy do that quickly?
Yeah, I think for me, it's you look at not looking at sunk costs, right? So you have Wentz, you just bought into Wentz. Of course, now they have the choice to buy into Hurts or not, and he doesn't work out, and you move on from him for, you know, pennies on the dollar relative to what you spent on him. You even look at Jalen Reagor. Like, we were just hanging out with Rick Spielman. Rick Spielman's laughing over getting Justin Jefferson after Jalen Reagor. Reagor doesn't work out. They just trade him for a fifth round pick to the Vikings. They just write it off. And when you do things, and the Eagles are one of my former interns is one of their analysts. And, like, you know, you look at their process, you're like, this is a process that I think, you know, Sumer Sports is trying to put to every single team. But you look at their process, and when you have good process, loss, wins and losses are just part of variance, right? And you can just write off Jalen Reagor as a loss. You can write off Carson Wentz's loss. Whereas with other teams who are maybe not as analytically inclined, maybe they have too much emotion to every decision and they aren't willing to, you know, press when the edge is there and cut off when the edge isn't.
All right, so Thomas, to that point, like, the 49ers are really aggressive, but in terms of a sunk cost, if you were them, what would you do with Trey Lance? What do you think they'll do?
Well, I think they know what they have in a really interesting upcoming quarterback, and by the way, was described the closest thing recently to Joe Montana. I heard that from...
Do you like that comparison?
Well, I obviously, looking at how cool he is in the pocket and where he's unmoved, I think it's so important in this league to be able to deal with that, right? We'll see. Year two is always different, right? We have so many smart D coordinators in this league. The next year that comes back, you can talk about it in New England. These D coordinators will rip the heck out of some of these quarterbacks the second year. They get to know what they're about, and they know the nuances of these guys. My personal opinion is, you know, they're going to continue to grow with two guys there, and I think it's going to be an interesting battle. They've said publicly that no Garoppolo, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to be dealing with
it. Of course, they said that last year, and Jimmy said goodbye, and Jimmy had a very warm, fond farewell for everybody, and then he came right back. So you never know, right? Never say never. Right. Eric, what about the Rams? Like, I know, Thomas, you're tight with Les Snead. I love Les Snead. Believe me, this guy's incredible, I think. That whole F them pick strategy, it worked. It worked, right? They won it all, and it worked. But they cratered this past year. My question then is, how long is it going to take for him to rebuild it? And given the pressure that we're talking about here, will he even be around to finish that rebuild?
Well, I think that's the real question, because it's so easy to put all the stars together, right? And they actually have really good analytics around, you know, keeping players healthy, which is part of that stars and scrubs approach that they have, because you're not replenishing with young players all the time, especially not high-end picks. I think, you know, they're probably going to have to bleed out for a couple of years. This is a division that has the 49ers. This is, Seattle is up and coming this year. Arizona's a little bit down, but I think that they're going to have to probably, you know, get past the Stafford, you know, era in L.A. before they have success, which, you know, by then Ramsey and guys like that are going to be a little bit older. So it's going to be tough for them. I think they knew that this was going to be the thing going in, though, and luckily for them, they bought in a year, 2021, where a 4 seed could win a Super Bowl, right? And they were facing another 4 seed, and they face a 6 seed in the NFC title game. So it was good calculation on their part, and you know they're paying the price now. Much, you know, think about like the Florida Marlins back in the day. They're doing exactly what happened there, and those teams have to bleed out for a while, and that's okay.
Yeah, we saw this coming. We knew there'd be a price to pay. The bill was going to come due. Did you ever think you'd see the day, though, that Jared Goff would be a more effective quarterback than Matt Stafford? I understand injuries are injuries, but did you see that?
Categorically, no.
Right.
And I watch it.
Categorically, unequivocally.
Yeah. I just think about it, and I watch that, and yet I come back to, you know, the systems that are around and how what you put around your quarterback and how you approach it and how you know it's up to the builders to know the strengths of that guy and how you can make him thrive. I believe that. I'm not putting so much on the coach, but it's paramount. If you have a coach that is willy-nilly and doesn't understand his players and doesn't understand the nuances of the positives and the elements that they can bring to the table, and they're just throwing out, they're so focused on their scheme, I think they do a complete disservice to their talent and their quarterback.
So what's more important to you, having a coach that you're on as a GM,
yeah,
having a coach that you're on the same page with, or having an owner that you're on the same page with, and who's tougher to get on the same page with?
I would say it starts with the owner, and yet of course the head coach relationship with the GM is so important if you're going to get things done. But you have to have the man who owns the train set. You have to have him in line with you as a GM. We were very fortunate in Atlanta to have it that way with Dan Quinn and myself and Arthur, but there were complications. There's always complications, right? It takes a lot when these guys make decisions to go to teams, i.e., when you're talking about, you know, what happened in Denver. I never thought. Who am I to say this? I thought Sean Payton was going there from the very beginning. He loves football. I take this the right way. But when you're in your late 50s as a coach, you're thinking about your empire too, brother. You're thinking about going into the Waltons. You're talking about growing and learning, of course. You're talking about building a championship team. But you're also thinking, I need to be able to bond with this ownership group come hell or high water. That is vital for me as a coach.
Interesting. Like, Eric, do you think when Sean Payton goes in there, I think he's a hell of a coach. I hold him in the highest regard. Is he thinking about that gigantic paycheck and getting back into it, or does legacy factor in at all?
I think he looks and doesn't, you know, Vince Lombardi, no one remembers him in Washington. No one remembers George Seifert going 1-15 in Carolina. Everybody, like, so he goes there. The tail is fat, as the statistics would say. Like, if he goes there and he resurrects Russell Wilson, he brings, you know, that franchise has not beaten Kansas City, the team in this game Sunday, since 2016. They have not beaten them, you know, for a bunch of years in a row.
Is that not good? Is that not work?
If he resurrects this franchise, he's a legend, right? If he fails, he's just going to be another coach who struggled in his second, and no one's going to remember that. So I think that's part of the calculus. And then I think with respect to Denver as a whole, this is where rich owners can have an edge, because when you trade a bunch of picks for a veteran player, it comes at a cost to your salary cap too. And that's what, you know, the trade-off between variance and cost. When you don't have a cost, when it's effectively zero because it's a rounding error to the Waltons, then you're paying all those first-round picks to fortify, you know, in a very, very certain way an offense with a guy who's had a proven track record. And that, to me, other than drafting a quarterback high, which they're clearly not going to do, that's the second best thing to do to your quarterback, is get a coach in there who can elevate him and help him elevate those around him.
So finally, Thomas, what do the analytics say about Russell Wilson? I mean, it would seem to be pretty apparent that he'll play better. They'll get more. Sean Payton will get more out of him than they did last year. But how much more, and what do the analytics say about Russ?
Well, I mean, look, you have the coach. If there's one coach that's going to get it out of him and pull him back into the mainstream, so to speak, and get him back on the rails, to me, it's going to be a guy like Sean Payton. And I think that's paramount. I mean, now again, remember, Sean comes in doing what he's going to do, but that wasn't his move. It was George Payton's move, right? They come in together. There's a little less pressure. I remember when we came in after Michael Vick, I was talking about to someone the other day about coming in and feeling like that wasn't hanging over my head and Smitty's head back in the early, or 2008, right? This is not the same, of course, but similar being that it's a big decision. There's a lot of big stuff talked about, and Sean Payton comes in there with that kind of rolling off his back. He's going to make the most out of it. If there's one guy can get it done, it's him. The analytics, in my mind, and that's obviously his, Eric's bailiwick, I really believe that he's got to take another year, get him out of the office, so to speak, put him there as what he is, a leader of football players, and make sure that they are on in sync and that team believes in him again. That's going to be vital for them to survive.
So, Eric, really quickly before I let you go, is this going to be exclusively an NFL product, or as the company grows, will you go beyond that?
I think it'll go beyond that. I mean, there's just so many soccer, college football, there's basketball, you know, is more developed than football, but there's just so many avenues. I mean, there's so many, you know, different approaches, and these games evolve so quickly that we're never going to solve football. We're just going to solve this version of it, and it's going to change because, you know, anytime you observe something, it changes.
It's a great conversation. Thomas Dimitroff, Eric Eager joining us, and they are a part of the company Sumer Sports. Appreciate you guys very much. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Always good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's a good time.
Thank
man.
You.
Good time.